यथा नाभासि मेघौघो रेणुर्वा पार्थिवो निले एवं द्रष्टारि दृष्टत्वम् आरोपितम् अबुधिभिः
As it is, Nabhasi, in the sky, Megha-ogha, a mass of clouds, Renu, dust, Va, as well as Parthivaha, muddiness, Anile, in the air, Evam, thus, Drashtari, to the seer, Drishyatvam, for the purpose of seeing, Arobitam is implied, Abudhibi, by the less intelligent persons. Clouds and dust are carried by the air, but less intelligent persons say that the sky is cloudy and the air is dirty. Similarly, they also implant material bodily conceptions on the spirit self. Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. It is further confirmed herein that with our material eyes and senses we cannot see the Lord, who is all spirit. We cannot even detect the spiritual spark which exists within the material body of the living being. We look to the outward covering of the body or the subtle mind of the living being, but we cannot see the spiritual spark within the body. So we have to accept the living being's presence by the presence of his gross body. Similarly, those who want to see the Lord with their present material eyes or with the material senses are advised to meditate on the gigantic external feature called Virat Rupa. For instance, when a particular gentleman goes in his car, which can be seen very easily, we identify the car with the man within the car. When the president goes out in his particular car, we say, there is the president. For the time being, we identify the car with the president. Similarly, less intelligent men who want to see God immediately without necessary qualification are shown first the gigantic material cosmos as the form of the Lord. Although the Lord is within and without, the clouds in the sky and the blue of the sky are better appreciated in this connection. Although the bluish tint of the sky and the sky itself are different, we conceive of the color of the sky as blue. But that is a general conception for the layman only. Om, by the air, but less intelligent persons say that the sky is cloudy and the air is dirty. Similarly, they also implant material bodily conceptions on the spirit self. As it is stated in Brahma Samhita, Premanjana Churita Bhakti Vilochanena Santasataiva Hridayeshu Vilokayanti Yam Shama Sundaramachintya Gunaswarupam
Govindamadi Purusham Tamaham Bhajami.
That the Supreme Personality of Godhead can only be perceived by one whose eyes are anointed with the salve of pure, unalloyed devotion. Just as when we have a cataract over our eyes, to the degree of the severity of that cataract, all we can see is the world through the vision of that cataract. In other words, we cannot see anything as it is. And at a certain point, we can become completely blinded. In a similar way, as long as the pure soul, who is part of God, and who by nature is meant to see Krishna, to love Krishna, to know Krishna, when it is covered by ahankar, by false ego, then we see everything through the filter of that particular type of false ego. And when that false ego comes in contact with material energy, it is further contaminated and implicated by the three modes of material nature: Rajaguna, Sattvaguna, Tamaguna. They mix within our false ego, which is like an opaque lens over the pure vision of the soul. And thus, we see everything of this world as a combination of the three modes of material nature. But Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he is above and beyond the three modes of material nature. And until our consciousness is transcendental or free from the modes of material nature, we cannot possibly see Krishna as he is. We have different extremes of people within the illusions of Maya, and we must philosophically, on the basis of Shastra, be able to identify them for what they really are. We cannot just accept anyone's opinion. Whatever anyone speaks, we only accept its validity on the basis of the Guru, the Sadhu, and the Shastra. So some people say that I have seen Krishna. I am seeing Krishna. I am hearing Krishna. I know Krishna. When Western devotees of the Hare Krishna movement come to India, this is the first thing that practically all of them experience. That so many people say, oh, I know Krishna. I see Krishna. I have heard Krishna. But unless one is above the three modes of material nature, it is not true. It is either a dream, or it is a sentiment, or it is a lie. Because Krishna, as explained in Brahma Samhita, he can only be seen by the eyes that are free from the modes of material nature and that have developed pure love and devotion. If you still have envy or greed or pride or lust or illusion or anger in your heart, and you are still attached to this material body and the things belonging to the body, then really you have you do not have the capacity to perceive Krishna as he is. we must go through a proper cleansing process. Cheto darapana marajanam bhava mahadavagni nirvapanam sreya khairava chandrikavataranam vijavahu jivanam. Therefore, better than thinking we're so advanced devotees having rasas with Krishna, better we chant the holy name of Krishna sincerely in a regulated way and clear our consciousness, clear our hearts of all of these anarthas. And then only can we perceive Krishna as he is. On the other hand, you have those who claim that if you cannot show me God now, there is no God. He does not exist. Because reality is what I see. Reality is what I hear, and I can touch, and I can taste, and I can smell. I know you are real, I know I am real, but how do you or anybody know that God is real? Insecure people who can't face the problems and frustrations of life, they have created this idea of God just to give them some false hope and security. But on what basis can we prove the existence of God? We cannot see him in our telescopes or microscopes. It is a myth. It is a crutch. Religion has no scientific basis of truth. Show me God. In this way, they challenge. But of course, through the proper process, we can show anyone God. But you have to take to that process. Because they are so contaminated by the false ego and the three modes of material nature and all the desires that are born of that, that they are spiritually blind. It is like a man who keeps his eyes closed and says, "There is no sun. Show me the sun." If you open your eyes, you can see it. But until you open your eyes, you cannot see. For a blind man, he may say that the sun does not exist. But the existence of the sun is not dependent on his capacity to see. In the same way, Krishna is transcendental to the three modes of material nature. As long as our vision is imprisoned by the false ego, all we see is what is in relationship to the false ego. You cannot see what is pure if you are impure. Therefore, this process of purification is the only real, true religion. People can talk that I am Hindu, or I am Buddhist, or I am Jain, or Parsi, or Muslim, or Christian. And people fight with all of their doctrines and dogmas about who's better. But actual religion means the genuine process of purification. And that is the underlying truth of every great religion of the world. According to a particular time, according to a particular circumstance, according to the people involved, there is a way to purify one's heart from the clutches of this ahankar or false ego and bring one back to his natural, healthy condition by which we can realize through direct perception, our eternal relationship with the Supreme Truth, with Krishna. So we should never be proud. We should never be proud that I am better than someone else because I have a higher religion. Or rather, we should be humble to realize how impure we are. And we should strive with great determination and be willing to make any form of sacrifice required to follow the principles of the great religion that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has given us and purify our hearts. It is certainly a fact that the spiritual doctrine of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is all-inclusive, and it is the highest conception of the absolute truth. But it is meant to be realized. It is not meant simply to brag that we have it. It is meant to be realized, understood through perception. And that can only come through purification. And that is our true purpose of life, purification. And everything we do within our life should be for the purpose of that purification. And to give others the inspiration and the guidance by which they can also be purified. And the process of purification is to always think of Krishna. Om apavitra pavitro vasar bhavastam gatopiva yasmaret pundarikaksham sabhayabhyantara suci. However pure or impure we may be, if we always just remember the beautiful lotus-eyed personality of Godhead, Shyam Sundar, we become purified from within and without. And we require spiritual discipline and guidance for the purpose of purification. Because the ahankar, the false ego, which is the terrible enemy that is dragging us through the sufferings of birth and death again and again and again, is so deeply rooted within our hearts. It is so expertly covering the soul on all directions. And the longer we remain in this material world, the tighter and tighter and tighter the grips of the false ego become. And when we take to spiritual life, Maya Devi, the illusory energy, who has complete control of us through the grip of the false ego, ahankar, she's not going to let us go so easy. Maya Devi wants to let us go, but it is her thankless task to bring us to only allow those who are sincerely willing to give anything for Krishna with all humility and with great determination. Sometimes Maya, when we become very serious about Krishna consciousness, she eases the grip of the false ego. She actually begins to release us from the influences and the temptations of the sense objects. And then we start thinking, I'm free, I'm liberated, I'm very spiritually advanced. And then we become a little less attentive in our sadhana. We feel we don't need to chant japa so much disciplined. We feel it's not so important to hear Srimad Bhagavatam every day. It's not so important to respect other Vaishnavas. I can tell them what I really think about them because now I'm very advanced. But when we do that, we further implicate ourselves, and we're still in Maya's hands. Don't think we're not. She's just relaxed her grip for a moment, but then she squeezes again. And we realize that, after all, I'm nothing without the help of Guru and Krishna. To always think of Krishna, this is the simple process of purification. By chanting his name, by hearing his glories, by engaging our mind and our senses in his devotional service. Because bhakti, devotional service, is none different than Krishna. It is the gift of Srimati Radharani. She is the goddess of devotion, the source of all devotion. Any opportunity to engage in devotional service is the divine gift of fortune given by the Supreme Goddess of Fortune. And she's distributing it through her representatives, the great Vaishnavas. So by simply fixing our mind on our devotional service, we are thinking of Krishna. And it is very important, because whatever minute, whatever moment we are not thinking of Krishna, that very moment will be seized by Maya. Whenever we are not actively engaged in devotional service, by thinking of Krishna, by hearing of Krishna, by chanting Krishna's name, by engaging in his loving service, either by doing puja for the deities, or offering prayers, or offering seva. There are 9 processes of devotional service. That very moment that we are inattentive will be stolen by the illusory energy. So it is very important that we be very attentive to this process of purification. Here it is being explained that the Lord is so merciful that according to every possible class of human beings, he will give some opportunity, some facility, some religious principle by which they have the chance to purify their hearts by remembering him. And therefore, within the Vedas, there are the 18 Puranas, which explain different levels of religiosity according to a person's capacity. Tamaguna, Sattvaguna, Rajaguna. And in various religions of the world, we find that many of them are very much in the mode of ignorance. And many religions are very much in the mode of passion. And some are really in the mode of goodness. And some are really teaching what is transcendental. So here it is explained that for those who are too much attached to only accepting truth on the basis of what their senses can perceive directly, the Lord has so mercifully and lovingly appeared as the Virat Rupa. It is a meditation on Krishna, to see all of material nature as a murti of Krishna. And factually, it all is. But it is for those who are not able to have the advanced consciousness to know and real, not know, but to approach Krishna as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. To see that the rivers are the veins of the body of the Lord, that the trees are the hairs of his body, that the sun and the moon are his two eyes. In this way, we could always think that, see how big and great God is. It is a very reverential and mystical process of remembering Krishna. Krishna in the Bhagavad Gita gives us also so many wonderful processes that can be applied every day to remember him. He says, I am the taste of water. And every day we must drink some water. We should remember, this taste is Krishna. But actually, every liquid that we drink, its basis is water. So whatever we drink, and actually in whatever we eat, what makes it digestible is the content of water within that food. Otherwise, food is so dry, you cannot possibly eat it. So whatever we eat or whatever we drink, we should understand that this is the taste of Krishna. Srila Prabhupada went to the extent that even if an alcoholic is drinking his wine, the water within that wine is Krishna. And if he just thinks that this is the taste of Krishna, then gradually he'll give up drinking wine and start taking charanamrit and eating prasad. Through purification, by thinking of Krishna. Krishna says, I am the strength of the strong. Wherever we see strength, wherever we see intelligence, I am the intelligence of the intelligent. Wherever we see anything worthy that is being done by anyone or anything, we can understand that it is Krishna. How is it that he is everything? Because through his energy, everything is happening. A strong man, the energy that he gets to exist on every level is coming from Krishna. The intelligent man. And in this way, by seeing like this, we never become envious. The nature of envy is we want to compete. If someone is more intelligent amongst intellectuals, they become very envious of someone who's more intellectual than them. Against athletes, they become very envious if someone is more strong. If a person is beautiful, they become very envious if somebody is more beautiful. And amongst arts and crafts, whatever you know how to do, if somebody could do it better, or in business, or in any profession, we become envious. How is it that he's outdoing me, or she's doing better? We can only be envious if we are blinded by the ahankar, the false ego. Because without the false ego, we see that Krishna is the source of everything that exists. Janmadyashayataha. And if someone is very, very intelligent, we think, how wonderful, Krishna is manifesting through this person in this way. Sometimes he may even manifest through me. Sometimes he may manifest through someone else. But as far as I am concerned, I am just Krishna's servant. And I'll serve that person who he's manifesting through. And if he manifests through me, I will just humbly use his divine energy in his service, in the service of others. There's no question of competition on an egoistic basis amongst those who have a pure heart. So we have to learn to see like this. Because factually, if you are envious of anyone for anything, you are envious of Krishna. Because Krishna says, all the wonderful and beautiful things of this world are but a spark of my splendor. Aishwaryasya samagrasya virayasya yashasya shriya jnana vairagya yoschai vasanam bhaga itin gana. Krishna says that I am the source. Parasara Muni says, he is the source, Krishna, Bhagavan, of all opulences. And everything everyone has is just a little part of Krishna's opulence. And if you are envious of anyone, you are envious of Krishna. So we must learn to recognize that and not cultivate or take serious the envy that we think we have for another. But we should know that the problem is in me. The problem is ahankar, false ego. That I haven't learned to truly be a humble devotee. I'm still thinking that what Krishna is giving me is mine, and what Krishna is giving somebody else is his or hers. We must recognize that that is my disease, and I must cure myself of that disease by not giving in to that envy and by becoming the humble servant of any person who is allowing Krishna to so nicely shine through them, and by very carefully performing our sadhana. Don't let Maya give you any excuses to divert your attention from your sadhana, because we're in a diseased condition and we need strong medicine. And if we let off on that strong medicine, we go crazy. It's just like some people when they have some mental difficulty and they're more or less crazy clinically, they have to take certain types of medicine just to give certain stability to their mind. Otherwise, their mind just goes everywhere. But the most crazy people think that I don't need the medicine. I'm all right. And that's the hardest thing. I've talked to doctors of, you know, psychiatrists and such clinical doctors at mental hospitals, and they say this is the greatest problem, that people think they don't need the medicine. Then they're really crazy. Then there's no way to restrict their craziness. Somehow or other, we have to convince them that you have to take this medicine on time every day. Otherwise, they create so many activities which are so embarrassing and humiliating, but they think it's all right. They think everybody else is crazy. This is a reality. And anyone who is not understanding Krishna consciousness and seeing Krishna in everything, in everywhere, anyone who is covered by the ahankar is crazy. So we're all crazy. So you have to admit it and take the medicine. And don't think that I don't need it, I'm all right. It's very serious. Because if we do not take the medicine very, very regularly and strictly, we can engage in very foolish activities which will incriminate us in so many forms of bondage and karmic reaction, and which could so much disturb our spiritual progress. So Krishna has given us such a wonderful opportunity to always think of him. Krishna in Bhagavad Gita, he is explaining how we can always think of him. But that explanation is different than the explanation here of the Virat Rupa. Because the Virat Rupa is given to people, this meditation, who really cannot conceive of anything beyond their sense perception. So they're given an understanding of God that they can see, that this is God, through material nature. But what Krishna is explaining in Gita, when he's explaining how he is everything, systematically, he's explaining how a devotee who accepts him as the personality of Godhead, the cause of all causes and the source of everything, how we could simply remember his divine personality in everything we do and everything we experience within this world. It can just revert our minds back to his loving remembrance again. Just as Guru Maharaj used to say, that if you see my eyeglasses, you think that this is Prabhupada's eyeglasses, and by thinking like that, you remember Prabhupada. Similarly, we should know that everything is the property of Krishna, and everything we see, we should remind ourselves that this is Krishna's, that this is Krishna's energy. Even the wicked, the most horrible and terrible things that we see in this world, we could think, this is Krishna's illusory energy. This is the bondage of Krishna's Maya potency for people who are rebellious against him. In this way, a devotee can remember Krishna in every situation of life and come closer to Krishna. But this takes training. This takes a very sincere effort. It takes very careful association with very sincere devotees. And then it is inevitable in due course of time through purification. So the example here are that clouds and dust are carried by the air, but less intelligent persons say that the sky is cloudy and the air is dirty. Similarly, they also implant material bodily conceptions on the spirit self. The soul is transcendental by nature. Mamayavamso jivaloke jivabhuta shanatana manashashtan indriyani prakritistani karashat. That every spirit soul is part of Krishna, is eternal, full of knowledge and full of bliss. The soul is actually never changed by material contaminations. It is simply covered. Just like the sun is sometimes covered by clouds. The clouds do not affect the sun. They just cover the sun. Our consciousness is eternally, by nature, pure. But this external form of illusory energy covers it like a cloud. And all these bodily conceptions are born of that covering. The air sometimes carries clouds. The air sometimes carries dust. But we should know that every cloud is temporary. It's not going to remain in the air for long. And similarly, the dust is temporary. It's going to disappear after some time. But the air remains. So similarly, the eternal soul. Sometimes it is in the body of an insect. Sometimes in the body of a plant. Sometimes it is in the body of any of the various 8,400,000 species. A plant, a fish, a reptile, an insect, a bird, a beast, a human being. the soul, it is like the air just being covered by different types of clouds, different degrees of dust. By chanting Krishna's names, we can purify ourselves of all these external coverings. And even while living within this body and living within this world, we can perceive and understand and realize the true quality of our own essence, that we are part of Krishna. Prema Pumartha Mahan. We can realize the highest goal of acting according to our constitutional position, of serving Krishna with love, with devotion. Thank you very much. Is there any questions?
Raja, you're talking about this Maya. As you say that Maya just keeps us lightly, we feel it that we are controlling our senses, and once it catches our hand, we understand that we are nowhere. Same thing, just on a practical angle for a grahasthas, you've always been told by Prabhupada and yourself that everything you have to do the needful, just do something which is needful. Once we are in a grahastha life, we have to go out, we have to meet all relatives, we have to attend all some functions, this, that. Same thing in our business also. We have to attend some parties, this, just to maintain and do the needful. On one side we feel it, I'm doing the needful. I'm not at all entrapped, I'm not at all having any problem, I'm doing my maintaining my sadhana. Because it is just that Maya is opening her hand just to see that I'm able to control my senses. There is no problem. But little bit of, because we are conditioned soul, our conditions are, we are getting more attracted because we go over there. And on one side we feel it, I'm controlling my senses, there's no problem because Maya's loosen her hand. On one side we feel it, everything is going all right, at the same time I'm getting the authority also to do the needful. So I'm just going ahead and ahead and ahead. And one fine day Maya just squeezes it and we understand, oh, we are nowhere.
Rivo.
So then we try to do it, we understand, no, I'm completely entrapped, I don't want to do all these things, let them do whatever they want to tell us. So then we don't do anything, then we have been told you are a fanatic, you people don't understand, you don't become practical. So on one side we have been told to do the needful, at the same time if we try to do the needful, we try to be entrapped by Maya. So we become fanatic. Then once we become a fanatic, then also we've been criticized. So how to keep an angle that which by Maya also we are not been entrapped by the Maya, at the same time we do the things by which our spiritual life is not getting disturbed.
Explains in Gita that this path is not for one who eats too much or eats too little, who sleeps too much or sleeps too little. We must learn how to properly regulate our life with spiritual direction from the spiritual master, from the Vaishnavas. We must learn what is our duty and how to regulate our life accordingly. The duty of a brahmachari, the duty of a grihastha, a vanaprast and sannyas is essentially the same: to serve Krishna and to please Krishna. But the form of that duty is different in each ashram. And even within each ashram, there are various forms of expression. In the grihastha ashram, it is our duty to be charitable, not to be greedy. It is our duty to associate with sadhus and to very lovingly serve them and hear from them with great respect. It is our duty to perform our sadhana very carefully, as it has been given by our guru. But then we follow the four regulative principles. We regularly hear Srimad Bhagavatam. We place the deity of Krishna in our home and make him the center of all of our activities and only take Krishna's prasad. Also, we have children perhaps, or wife, and it is our duty as a wife to properly assist and care for our husband and children. It is our duty as husband to care for by providing all necessities for the family. And this is where many complications come in, because in this material world, just to provide, you have to implicate yourself in so much materialistic association. Because we need money. But it is our duty to get that money. The most important thing is what we do when we get it, as well as how we get it. We should get it by honest means. We should not cheat. As far as possible, we should be straightforward and honest. But sometimes it's just not possible to survive by being completely honest. But as far as possible, we should do that, be completely honest. And if it is not possible, Prabhupada used to say that sometimes a businessman will have to tell you that I am selling it the cheapest. For you, I make no profit. But you're making some profit. But you have to say sometimes. It should be minimal. It should not be with the propensity to cheat or to take advantage. It should be to make an honest living. And we should only associate with very materialistic people as far as it is absolutely necessary. Not beyond, not for our pleasure or our recreation or our enjoyment, but with all respect to all living beings, we should just do the needful. Needful means what's needed. In this case, we do not do the wantful. We do the needful. We associate with such people and do such thing as far as we need to survive in our ashram. We shouldn't go beyond that. And then we should take whatever wealth Krishna gives us through our sincere efforts, and we should use it for pious cause, to create an atmosphere at home which is conducive for Krishna consciousness to our whole family, and to use the rest in charity. Some savings is perhaps required for some stability to our Krishna conscious ashram, grihastha ashram, and the rest should be charity. Charity for those who are actually really helping others to elevate their consciousness, really helping the suffering condition of humanity. And in our interrelationships with relatives, it is also necessary to some extent. But if those relationships are severely contaminating ourselves and contaminating our family members, then we should simply minimize it to practically nil. But if it is not sinful, if they are not inducing us to sinful life, then we should, the best way to associate with them is by your example and by your words to give them Krishna. That's best. Then you can associate very much. But if they just do not want to accept Krishna, then out of respect, as far as necessary to keep peace, it's a simple formula. And to perform all of those activities that I am just spoken, it is the duty of a grihastha. And you must perform your duty for the pleasure of Krishna in a spirit of devotion. Yes?
References to the Virata Rupa, just like now you were explaining that the river are like the veins and the hair, trees are like the hair. And in the yesterday's purport we read that the planetary systems, the lower planetary systems are like the legs and the higher planetary system like the head. Then there is a Virata Rupa which was shown to Arjuna in the battlefield of Kurukshetra. And there was a Virata Rupa shown to Duryodhan. So are these the manifestations of the same Virata Rupa or they are different?
They are... Virata Rupa, in principle, is where Krishna is revealing himself through material nature. And at different times, Krishna reveals himself as different manifestations within material nature. In other words, Virat Rupa, there are different understandings of the Virat Rupa. There are different perceptions of the Virat Rupa that Krishna reveals. But in essence, they are the same. The principle is the same. All the lower planetary systems, as his feet and like that, that is the Virat Rupa, is the entire universe, to see Krishna as the entire universe. Of course, you cannot see the lower planetary systems, but you can imagine in this way. So it is the same Virat Rupa, but just different perceptions of the same. Because Virat Rupa means that the entire material nature, all of the universe, it's the universal form. The whole universe is the form of God. That's what really Virat Rupa means. The whole universe is the form of God. And everything within the universe is a part of the body of God.
Arjuna, in case of when Mother Yashoda saw in the mouth of Krishna that universal form, they actually saw all the living entities also, and so it's the same thing, but
it's just different perceptions of the form of God in the as the universe and everything within him as the parts of his body. Different perceptions. Just like, for instance, in the spiritual world, people have different perceptions of Krishna. The Sakas are thinking, Krishna's my friend. He's just the best friend. And the and Nanda Maharaj, Yashoda Mai, they are thinking, oh, Krishna is, he's not my best friend, he's my son. He's my most beloved child. And the gopis, they see that same form of Krishna, and within their hearts is overflowing the divine sentiment that Krishna is my lover. So they are seeing the same Krishna, but they have different, very different perceptions according to their particular conscience, according to how Krishna is revealing himself to them. But that is within the realm of prema. When we are in the realm of prema, Krishna reveals himself to us just according to the way that is most enjoyable for him and that soul. Now, when we are under the realm of material consciousness, Krishna also reveals himself accordingly. Yeyatamam prapadyante tamstathaiva bhajamyaham. And for those who are approaching Krishna, even as the universal form, Krishna reveals a particular perception of that universal form according to the person's consciousness. And he's explaining, essentially, all of the explanations are the same. But there's some differences in perception in the various explanations of the Virat Rupa in various scriptures.
Krishna is source of everything. So, as you said, we should learn to see Krishna everywhere. Whatever is coming, it is coming from Krishna. Sometimes, or many times, Maya comes in the form of bit. So many times Maya comes in terms of beautiful forms. So sometimes it is easy to see Krishna in terms of water as a taste. But when Maya comes in the form of beautiful form, that beautiful form is also spark of Krishna. So it is very difficult to see that beautiful form is a spark of Krishna. There is much possibility to fall down. So we should try to see Krishna in that form, or we should reject to see Krishna in that form. Because it is very
you should reject. Because you're not seeing Krishna in that form. That's, if you see Krishna in the form, you don't have to reject. But you're seeing an object of lust for your own pleasure in that form, so you must reject it. You must see Krishna in the order to reject it. Because if you see Krishna in that form, you won't lust for that form. You'll offer all respects and obeisances with a pure and humble and unagitated heart, right? But if you're disturbed in mind by the lower qualities of passion, you should know you're not seeing Krishna. So because I'm not seeing Krishna, I have to see Krishna in his instruction to run for my life. Right? Of scripture. And scripture tells us to do like this. Of course, you should, when you see some nice devotee who happens to be like that, you don't have to run. But you should be very careful and not subjected your consciousness to that pollution. That means you should offer all respects, and that's all. Huh? You should never disrespect a devotee. Whatever sex or form they may be in, you must respect all devotees. But there are different ways of respecting. You must protect the dignity and the sanctity of your consciousness and of the atmosphere. Because for a man to look upon a woman, or for a woman to look upon a man with passion, it's actually offensive to that devotee. It's actually an offense to that devotee. And it's very degrading to our own heart. So therefore we should simply offer respect and go on to our proper service. But don't think, this is Krishna. I will have darshan to my heart's content and become purified. That is not the process.
Hariwa, thank you very much.
Is the ultimate principle of all of existence. And the greatest achievement that we can attain to the transmigration of 8,400,000 species of life is to be attracted to the sweetness and the beauty of Sri Sri Radha Gopinath. One who has that attraction has the greatest fortune. And one who is not so attracted to the beauty of Sri Sri Radha and Krishna is to be considered the most unfortunate. And it is the service of every Vaishnava to make the first priority of life to perform those activities which will cultivate and awaken that attraction for Sri Sri Radha Gopinath, and to avoid anything, however pleasing it may be to our mind and senses, if it diverts our attention away from the service of their lotus feet. It is the service of every sincere Vaishnava to become so humble and so simple in one's life that through whatever they do, whatever they say, or whatever we think, we only want the beauty and the mercy of Sri Radha Gopinath to reflect through our lives so that others will also be attracted. When we perform the Sankirtan of the Holy Name, we are advertising the glories of Sri Sri Radha and Krishna. We are calling upon all living beings within the world to find joy and hope in the loving remembrance of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Srila Prabhupada, when he would come to temples, he was always very concerned with how well taken care of the deities were. Because as we take care of the deities, that is how we take care of our spiritual lives. By offering the best we have to Krishna. And what is it that is the best we have? It is our desires. It is our propensities. It is our facilities. We want to offer these things for the pleasure of Krishna. And of course, we know from Krishna himself that it is the great Vaishnavas, the Guru, that teach us the process of offering everything to Krishna. We must know that we do not know we have for so many births and deaths distanced ourselves from Krishna and from his devotees. But it is only by the kindness of the Vaishnavas and by the direction of Guru Maharaj that we can be a part of Krishna's loving mercy in this world. So when we come together to chant for Krishna, to dance for Krishna, when we come together to please his devotees, only then does Krishna remove the curtain of Maya from our eyes and allow us to be attracted again with love and with devotion to his beautiful form, his beautiful glories, his names, his pastimes. It is not something that comes easy. To be really and truly attracted to Krishna, our heart must be cleansed of all pride and of all various desires for our personal selfish interests. To the proportion we become free from such material desires, Krishna reveals how supremely attractive his name, his glories, and his beautiful form truly are. So we have come together in this temple exclusively for this purpose, to make our lives collectively and individually a sacrifice. A sacrifice by which we put aside our own interests for the interest of Krishna. And the interest of Krishna has been so wonderfully revealed in his divine form of Sri Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, in which he has given us the revelation of his own heart, of which every devotee should seek shelter. And that is Gopi Bharatur Padakamalayora Dasa Dasanudas. To aspire to be the servant of the servant of the servant of the Lord. This is Krishna consciousness. So I am so very happy and so very grateful to see how beautifully Radha Gopinath are being taken care of. But even more grateful and joyful to see how much the light of their mercy is shining through the hearts of each one of you. Please never give up this great fortune that we have received. The holy name of Krishna has descended into this world to deliver all living beings. Have faith. Be patient. Chant the holy names and be happy. It is so simple and it is so wonderful. Do not allow your mind to complicate this sublime process that Lord Chaitanya and Srila Prabhupada has so kindly given us all.
Thank you very much, Hare Krishna. Haribo. Crisis. We should be happy in our Krishna consciousness. We have Krishna's name. We have Krishna's devotees. This is our happiness. And no power on earth can take that away from us unless we choose to do so ourselves. So if you see another devotee struggling, it is your first duty to make them happy. Haribo.